You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your New Orleans Saints, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. On today's episode, we're taking a look at ESPN's top 10 list across the defensive side, still with one on the way, but we got a few top 10 Saints defenders. We'll talk about who and at which positions, who got snubbed and who might still be on the way. Then for our top three Thursday, we're going to look at the top three names for the New Orleans Saints who have been recent training camp studs, but unfortunately didn't make the cut, and who that could potentially happen to this year. And then we'll wrap up with a visit from our good friend Brandon Olson of Locked On Gators to talk a little name, image, likeness, and how NIL has been sweeping college football and what effects it could have on the professional league as well. We'll have all that on today's episode. And as always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your co-managing editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com and Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL podcast. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, kicking off today's episode, we're going to start off with a quick look over at ESPN Plus and their top 10 defenders list, at least the ones that they've released so far. Still one on the way tomorrow for safeties, but we'll circle back around to that. As always, if you want to get a little bit of info to help you out ahead of your fantasy football season, make sure you go and check out the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast with Vinny Iyer wherever you get your podcast. So ESPN so far has already put out four lists thus far: edge rusher, interior defensive line, off-ball linebacker, as well as cornerback. And one New Orleans Saint has made it on three of the four lists. Let's start off with the snub, though. David Onyemata not listed on the interior defensive line list. When are we going to put some respect on David Onyemata's name? Let me just ask the question. When is it going to happen? Because this guy has consistently gotten better and better and better. He did get a mention. He did receive votes. And everybody talks about how he just gets better every year, but we don't see him on the 2021 list. I have very, very little doubt that when these lists start coming out again ahead of 2022, that David Onyemata's name absolutely will be there. Very little doubt that that is going to happen because he absolutely deserves it. He's been one of the better interior defensive linemen in the NFL, and he's been New Orleans Saints, their best. So good, they were in a position to where they needed to be able to move on from some players. They didn't retain Sheldon Rankins, and I think you can still feel pretty good about that defensive line, despite the fact that they lost a first rounder in Sheldon Rankins, who signed with the New York Jets. So my snub so far, absolutely David Onyemata not being listed within the top 10 at his position. So now let's get to the players that were listed. We'll start at the edge defender position, and Cam Jordan makes the list at number 9. NFL defensive coordinator put Cam Jordan in his top 5 for both interior defensive line and for pass rushers as well, and quoted as saying he belongs on either list. Doesn't matter where he lines up, just a great football player. So a big time reputation, of course, when it comes to Cam Jordan. And of course, Cam Jordan has also been somebody that had a little bit of a down year last year and is still getting this kind of praise. He was coming off of offseason surgery, things like that. Now he's feeling rejuvenated and ready to go ahead of the 2021 season. I think he absolutely deserves to be on this top 10 list. He's one of the better edge defenders in the NFL, not just in terms of being a pass rusher, but also in being a run stopper and somebody that is a true edge defender over on the edge as well. So really glad to see him here. He also won on 14.3% of his rushes on the interior as well, according to the ESPN article. So Cam Jordan making the edge defender list here, but also getting high praise for what he can do across the defensive line as a whole. Great compliment to him and absolutely deserves that praise. Now let's get to off-ball linebackers. We're not talking about pass rushers from the second level like Shaq Barrett or Khalil Mack. We're talking about off-ball coverage linebackers, guys like Lavonte David, as well as Devin White, who actually leads off this list, Fred Warner, who's number 2. DeMario Davis does make the list here in the top 10, but at number 9. And I've seen a lot of people argue that it's fine that he's there. I've seen a lot of people argue that he should be higher. I can go really either way on it, but I will also say that he was ranked 5th last year and has dropped to 9th. I don't know that you can really justify that drop outside of the one thing that they reference here, lack of elite physical skills, which I think when you look at guys like Fred Warner and Devin White, sure, But then you also take into consideration, just like this ESPN article did, that Davis is turning 32, right? So they're looking at age and they're trying to project forward and say maybe that leads to some type of a drop off or something in 2021. I don't see it happening. DeMario Davis has been consistent and has started every game of his career. And then you also look at the effect that he's had in New Orleans. I tweeted this out yesterday as well at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter. I guess you could see that. But anyway, I tweeted this out yesterday. But what they did basically was they looked at what happened once he arrived in the lineup in 2018. The New Orleans Saints in 2017 were ranked the 17th best defense. In 2018, they jumped up to 14th once DeMario Davis arrived. The second year of DeMario Davis, they jumped up to 11th. And then the last year, just this most recent year with DeMario Davis, they jumped up to 4th last season. So you have seen exactly what it is that he has brought in terms of leadership and helping to rejuvenate the defense. That is absolutely no coincidence. DeMario Davis is a huge part of what the New Orleans Saints have become on the defensive side. And to wrap up the list that have already been released, over on the cornerback position, Marshon Lattimore does make the list at number 7. He is here in the top 10. And a lot of people talk about here, there, his inconsistencies. This is what a high-ranking NFL official, quote-unquote, said, can show you one game where he looks like an all-pro, another where he looks like a complete train wreck, which I think is a little harsh, but he can play man and take you out of the game. He's that talented. You look at the 3 games that he played against elite wide receivers in Tampa Bay last year, 35 yards allowed, whether he was matched up on Mike Evans, who he absolutely demolished last year again, or a guy like Chris Godwin, who he'll end up locked up with sometimes, Antonio Brown, 35 yards. But then you look at maybe a game against the, let's say, the Los Angeles Chargers, where he allowed 99 receiving yards in that game. But then in that same game had the big game-saving fourth down tackle that sealed the game for the New Orleans Saints in overtime. So I think people can point out inconsistencies and things like that. But if you look at the catalog of his entire time since 2017, where he won Rookie of the Year, 55 pass deflections during that time, he's been incredibly productive and still deserves to be in this top 10 list. And certainly will be looking to answer some questions about consistency, or rather inconsistency, in 2021. The one list that remains over on the defensive side from ESPN will come out tomorrow on Friday. That will be the safety list. I can almost bet anything that Marcus Williams will be on that list. And if he's not, you'll hear about it in tomorrow's episode for sure. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about training camp darlings that just haven't seemed to pan out and who's on watch for this year. We'll talk about that as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. This weekend, we get the highly anticipated fight between Conor McGregor and Lafayette, Louisiana's very own Dustin Poirier, the third match between these two. Each have won one of the matchups previous. Now we'll see the tiebreaker, a little bit more of a winner-take-all situation. If you want to bet on that and any of the incredible props that are over there, including whether or not these guys are going to shake hands, somebody's going to throw something, if Connor's going to be chewing gum, or if he's going to be wearing glasses, you want to bet on all of that stuff, head over to betonline.ag, have a little bit of fun, because they have all of that, plus, of course, the odds about who will win and who will lose. So go and check it out over at betonline.ag, and you can also check out all the other sports action that they have, and reality TV, game shows, and award shows as well. So much to be a part of over at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So go and check them out. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus at BetOnline.ag. All right, family, having a little bit of fun on this top three Thursday episode. Try to do these every week, or at least as often as we have the appropriate topics. And I finally came up with a good one here. Talking about training camp darlings, top three training camp darlings in recent past. I think this is a pretty simple list, and I think a lot of the same names will come up for folks, but maybe different names will come up. And of course, we want to talk about training camp darlings that didn't make the cut. So a guy like Brandon Coleman, who was a training camp darling in training camp, but also made the roster, won't find here, but we can shout him out. Same thing with Tre'Quan Smith, who came in and impressed his rookie season in 2018 when he came in and made the roster. So no big surprises there. So those guys won't make the list, but we'll give them a quick shout out. Instead, we're going to take a look at the players that really stood out during camp but didn't make the active roster. And let's start off here at number 3. I think we all know who we're building up to at number 1 here, but we're also going to talk about some of the players that might be on watch to be training camp darlings that don't make the roster here in 2021. But So we'll take a look first here at number three. I'm going to go with Divine Azigbo, the undrafted free agent running back that everyone pretty much agrees should have been drafted as he was coming into the NFL just a couple of years ago. He's somebody that even still to this day, I'll grab in the very last round of my fantasy draft, or I'll go and grab him if he's on, you know, if he's a free agent at some point, or add to injured reserve if he's injured in the hopes that he'll come back at some point during the season and I'll be able to utilize him. I still have a lot of faith in this dude, even though he got completely eclipsed by James Robinson in Jacksonville last year. They've now added Travis Etienne over there. So Divine Azigbo, not in the best situation now, but when he was with New Orleans in training camp, scored several touchdowns, had a few breakaway runs, things like that, even had some really great showings in the preseason as well, but didn't make the roster, and understandably so. I mean, you look at the running back room that season for the New Orleans Saints, still included some fantastic names. And then, of course, you have Alvin Kamara, who is going to take away all of those snaps anyway. So there wasn't ever really a need for Divine Azigbo, and you can kind of look at it in hindsight and say, okay, the Saints made the right decision there. They were totally fine with Dwayne Washington and the folks that they kept around. But Divine Azigbo, definitely one of those guys that every one of us was kind of pulling for, but just didn't really come to fruition. At number two, we'll go with another running back, Boston Scott, hometown guy, went to La Tech, and again, exploded during training camp. Also had some great moments in preseason, including as a returner on special teams. I feel like we were a little bit more convinced that Boston Scott would make it because of the special teams contributions that he had, as well as his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield as well. And he was part of a little bit of a weird draft class that year in 2018, to where he was a part of, you know, this draft class that also had Cameron Moore and Natrell Jamerson and Rick Leonard. There were just these kind of odd selections during that draft class that we kind of went, okay, well, we'll see what this all turns into. And Boston Scott looked like he was turning into something. And now he's kind of thriving over in Philadelphia. I mean, he's got a really good setup there, being a part of the running back stable over there and having some success. So you love to see it for him. He's definitely ended up in a little bit of a better situation so far than Divine Azigbo has. But again, New Orleans Saints totally fine at the running back position over the course of these years, going from Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram to Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray, and being just fine and being able to continue to produce on the ground. And of course, Taysom Hill gives you some of that running capability as well, regardless of where he's lining up or not lining up. So I think the Saints obviously made the right decision with both of those guys in terms of taking up roster spots and making sure that they put the 53 most talented players on the roster. But it was hard to see him go, especially somebody that is a Louisiana product, basically, coming out of La Tech. And finally, at number one, we all knew this was coming. Y'all knew it was coming when I teased this segment yesterday, but you still came through, so thank you for that. Emmanuel Butler. Listen, if I was ever going to be sure about it, I'm trying not to bang the table. If I was ever going to be sure about an undrafted free agent wide receiver, it felt like Emmanuel Butler was going to be the guy. I mean, like, it just didn't feel like there was any reason for him not to make the roster with all of the incredible things that he did during training camp. I mean, he was a big time standout throughout camp and unfortunately got injured really just at the wrong time and then never really panned out in terms of his time on the field when it came to preseason, and then never really found a way to contribute as a special teamer either. 6'4", 220 pounds, you imagine that he would at least be able to get out there and be a good blocker on the return unit, things like that. None of that really panned out for him. And the Saints are really open about that. Like, the reason that Emmanuel Butler didn't pan out is because of the fact that they weren't able to utilize him elsewhere outside of the wide receiver position. And specifically, the wide receiver position that he thrived in was Michael Thomas's position, the X receiver position, as opposed to being complimentary elsewhere, working out of the slot or being a flanker, so on and so forth. So it just didn't really work out in terms of what Emmanuel Butler was able to bring beyond the flashy catches at the outside receiver spot, at the number one spot or at the X spot, which he would have not really gotten any access to outside of maybe the 2020 season. But obviously the Saints actually performed pretty okay at the wide receiver position without Emmanuel Butler. Do I think Emmanuel Butler would have made all the difference in 2020? No. Absolutely not. And so I think that when you look at the guys that are on the roster now and that fit the same mold, you're seeing, let's say, little Jordan Humphrey as somebody that's also 6'4", a bigger body guy, but he contributes elsewhere. He can line up in the slot. He can line up out wide. He can line up in the backfield. He's a good returner and he's a good blocker and he's somebody that can serve on your return team. That's the style of receiver that makes the roster at Emmanuel Butler's stature, which is one of the reasons why I perked up a little bit when on yesterday's episode when we were talking about N'Keal Harry And Mike DeBate mentioned him as a fantastic special teamer. That's one of the things that you need in order to make the roster. You can't just be a contested catch guy. You have to be able to do more in order to make this New Orleans Saints team. And unfortunately, Emmanuel Butler, for all the promise that he showed as an outside receiver, wasn't able to fill the roles necessary elsewhere in order to find his way on the roster. Now, which player might be on watch here throughout training camp to potentially be another one of these guys that stands out during camp but doesn't make the roster? Let's start at wide receiver, and we could talk a little bit about Kwon Baker. Drafted in the seventh round, shows you right now that he was able to do a lot in college, but can he translate all that to the NFL? I think he'll be able to, but certainly we can't get oversold on him during the course of training camp and get, you know, any type of hype around him and allow it to get overblown. Stevie Scott, the undrafted free agent running back, is another one that could be somebody that maybe stands out a little bit. Again, he only had, I think it was less than a handful of 35 plus yard plays over the course of his collegiate career. So yeah, he might not be somebody that's flashy, but he might do enough to catch some eyes. But can he do enough to actually make the roster, even if he does become a training camp darling? We'll have to see. And I'll also throw Jalen McCleskey on there. Jalen McCleskey is somebody that, kind of like Cyril Grayson a couple of years ago, can take those deep shots, can turn on the burners and get wide open downfield, and that has the long speed. But if he's not going to be able to contribute elsewhere, special teams coverage or the return unit or as a returner operating in the slot and outside, then he might not make the roster despite the big flashy plays that he makes, a la Cyril Grayson, who could have also made this list as well as one of the top three. So any other players that you might think of, go ahead and drop them down below. Again, this isn't about disparaging. It's just about who we should pump the brakes on in terms of expectation if we see them thrive in training camp. Just that one spot, we need to see them doing more. Again, I'm a little bit more confident in Kwon Baker there, but we'll see how training camp actually pans out. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Brandon Olson of Locked On Gators to talk NIL and how it could potentially affect the NFL as well. We got that coming up for you next year on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. And before we get to that, let me remind you, today's episode is brought to you in part by our good friends over at Built Bar, the best tasting protein bars on the market. 9 delicious flavors that won't make you regret picking up a protein bar like some of these other gross bars are that taste of nothing but regret. You've got 9 incredible flavors here that include combinations of coconut and chocolate, mint and chocolate, peanut butter and chocolate, raspberry and chocolate, fruit and chocolate. There's something for everybody when it comes to these bars, as well as grasshopper cookie that you can now check out over on the website. Tastes a lot like a thin mint. So if you're a fan of those cookies, you're going to be a fan of these Built Bars, because unlike those cookies that are probably 4 or 5 grams of sugar per wafer, these are 4 or 5 grams of sugar per bar, but also giving you 17, 18 grams of protein. So go and check them out over at builtbar.com. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, so that you can get 15% off of your next order over at builtbar.com. All right, everybody, rolling on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thank you very much, as always, for being here. And we're joined again, and the second time this week, making his appearance. And we totally waited several days before recording this again. My guy, Brandon Olson, at WNS_Brandon on Twitter, host of Locked On Gators, which you can catch every Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, also our founder over at Whole 9 Sports. You can go and check that out as well over at whole9sports.com. And Brandon has been kind of on the forefront of having conversations around NIL, name, image, likeness. Here we are a week removed from the first day that name, image, likeness really started to take off for these college players. And I got a little curious about how this might affect the NFL. So I asked Brandon to come in and have a little bit of a conversation with me around it so that we can kind of look at this. So here we are looking at NIL and the way that it's affected these college athletes, which I think has been absolutely fantastic so far. How does this affect them, though, in the eyes of the NFL?
I think when it comes down to how NIL will have any impact on the NFL, the biggest, which is just like a whole bunch of acronyms that were thrown out there.
I know, right?
I think the biggest way is just like that there's going to be guys staying in college longer now than we really anticipated. I know that I mentioned the story before off air with Matt Jones, who played running back for Florida. He's a guy who went to the NFL. He got drafted in, I think, the 4th or 5th round by Washington. had one great season or one great stretch where he just fumbled the ball a ton, but was like producing, so who cared? And he should have stayed in school. That was a big thing with him. I believe it was the same thing with Ronald Powell, who actually used to be a Saint, I believe, pass rusher. And both of them were guys like they had families that they had to support. And so they left school early to go to NFL and get that pay. And whether or not you want to talk about draft position, that's not even the important thing. What matters is these guys, I mean, they both pretty much burnt out and they weren't ready for the NFL as it was and as they were, but they had things they had to get done financially and they had responsibilities thrust upon them. And they had to make that decision early because they couldn't get paid, but that's no longer really a concern with college and NIL laws going into effect.
So we could see players waiting a little bit longer to step into the NFL with that. What about evaluations from the NFL? Because it feels likely to me that this could have some positive impact on players that really do manage this well in terms of doing all the things they're supposed to do on the field, in the classroom, and now also having this ability to be able to essentially uphold endorsement deals, endorsement programs, seem to be a little bit ready for the spotlight in that case.
Yeah, it helps a ton. I mean, I spoke about it on Locked On Today last week that there's just so much going on with this where it's murky with agents, if they can give marketing budgets, if they can give whatever. Athletes have a lot of responsibility thrown on them, and it's not that they're not being helped by many people or many places because they still have to worry about if they're going to do something that's going to ruin their eligibility and hurt their careers. Right. And being able to manage all of this is just beyond me. I'm following it and I can barely do it. So it's insane. I think NFL teams are going to look at your maturity when they see how you can handle things. And if we're being honest, it's a business. They're also going to look at how well you market yourself and how much money they can make off of you.
Sure. Sure. That's a great point.
Tebow only got signed for money. So
absolutely. I mean, you know, look, can you sell jerseys? Do you already have a stance? All these other things will definitely become a part of that. Last thing for you, because you mentioned the way that agents can now work with collegiate athletes. What do we know about this so far? How involved can they get? And what's the reality behind it too? Because there may be things that they can't enter agreements on, but there is a reality of rapport building, I imagine.
So it's just a mess right now, if we're being completely honest, because it's just how things are worded, how things are phrased, and how everything is changing. And just when seriously, because obviously, like, you can sign with an agent. You can't get money. You can't have a marketing bonus, which I know that there are first round picks that get 6 to 7 figure marketing bonuses.
Sure.
That's no longer an option anymore because we don't know. It's not explicitly against the rules, but it's not explicitly allowed. And at that point, I think athletes are kind of like, I'm going to toe the line here. I'm going to bother towing the line. I'm going to make sure that I'm perfectly fine. We've seen Spencer Rattler signed with Steinberg, and he, I'm assuming, didn't take a marketing bonus because that's not something that can happen right now.
Right.
When you can, you can't do that and be sure that you're safe. So I think that agents are, I mean, I've spoken to agents that are hesitant to get involved with anything because they don't want to cost a player their eligibility. And because that really just screws everyone over. That means you're burning your relationship. You're killing your reputation because you just got a player ruled ineligible.
Right, for sure.
And you're hurting yourself now in the future. You're hurting that player now and in the future. And so everybody's kind of, I'll say, weary to get involved, really. And it's such a pain just trying to deal with that. No one knows. That's the worst part, that no one knows. And it's just like, they just threw the players to the wolves. They've managed it fantastically so far. But there are so many question marks where I've openly reached out to players and I'm like, hey, if you need help, let me know. And I've had people be like, all right, can I talk to an agent? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's where I can't help you though.
I don't know if you can or can't, but don't. Right. That's all I can say. Yeah. So Yeah, it's one of the weirdest situations we've ever had, especially because like the NCAA finally lost and they seemed like UConn women's basketball, like no one was going to stop them.
Right.
But, hey, NCAA finally lost, but they still kind of won by just adding stress with what they'll allow. But it's just a fun roller coaster I can't wait for.
I love a UConn women's basketball reference. Shout out Paige Buckets. I'm all about that. I love that reference. Before we get you out of here, one quick fun question for you. And let's acknowledge the answer is everyone. But is there a specific New Orleans Saint you think could have really benefited from the NIL rules when they were in college?
Do you really think I'm not going to say?
Come on, I know what you're going to say. Yeah, I know who you're going to say.
I'm going to say Chauncey.
Yeah, and as well you should.
Chauncey was trying to.
That's right. And of course, he had his music too, right? So like, yeah, there was that portion of it that he could have benefited.
He had everything. Like, who knows? He could have been on one of those, I forgot the name of the company, but like the crappy boxing celebrity fights where they just throw the bag at you.
Oh, sure.
Just for talking trash. Who knows?
I love it. I love it. Brandon, we appreciate you coming through, man. If you want to keep up with Brandon, check him out at WNS_Brandon, Locked On Gators and Whole Nine Sports. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, family, one more big thank you to Brandon Olson for coming through today to talk a little bit of name, image, and likeness. Tomorrow is Friday, so we're going to wrap up the entire week in one segment and get you everything that you need to know from a week around the New Orleans Saints. Or in case you missed it segment, we'll get some questions from listeners, and I'm hoping to be joined by John Sigler to talk a little bit more about N'Keal Harry. So we'll have all that coming up for you on tomorrow's episode. As always, I appreciate you so much for all the support that you've shown for the channel, for the show. Everything that you're doing means the world. And as always, you can reach out to me anytime on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.